Hey, everybody. Vince here. Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, post-nuclear podcast. A little bit different of an episode today. Olive is not here. Instead, we have...
Your special host, Kyle.
Kyle has been given a promotion.
I've ascended.
Kyle has ascended to host. Olive got sick, and she needed to take a break, and my schedule is full. But I didn't not want to talk about all the new exciting things that have happened for Bethesda and what could possibly be happening for Fallout. Before we get into any of that, I just want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon. Patreon allows us to continue to make these shows. We just had to pay our service fees, and us paying our service fees, was all through Patreon. It helped us make it so we can do another year of the show. We also bought some equipment. So that's in the mail. And the show is slowly being upgraded, becoming bigger and better. And we have to thank these people because of it. So going down the list, we have to thank first Noah. Thank you. He's been here for a very long time supporting us. We also have to thank Gage, and we have to thank Gage twice. Once for Patreon, a second time for Discord. There's a bunch of fun Discord activities that we get to do because of Gage. After that, we have Jordan with a Y. Thank you, Jordan with a Y. We also have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. And we have to thank Marcus. So thank you. Again, all your contribution has made it so the show can continue and can grow. And we'll be thanking you again towards the end of the show. But other than that, Kyle, it's fucking happening, buddy boy.
Yep. Some good news.
Oh my God. Do you want to break it down?
Microsoft bought Bethesda and ZeniMax Studios.
Just straight out bought it.
Yeah.
The best tweet that I've seen is Todd Howard, the madman, made Microsoft buy Skyrim for $7.5 billion cash. They didn't trade stock. They didn't trade assets. They bought it outright. They bought.
There's a photo I saw of a Pete Hines, and he has like three of those like metal like cases in the back, and they're like, this is probably where all the money's at.
I'm trying to see if I can find the article. I don't remember if I retweeted it or not.
I remember telling you and all of this months ago.
Yeah,
before everything happened, it was. I don't know if it was before recording or whatever. But like we're sitting outside on the porch, and I was like, "Oh, look at yo! Microsoft might buy Bethesda."
Oh, your porch?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this was in January. Then this is when we were doing the cooking video. Holy shit! So you said Microsoft?
Yeah. Microsoft, yeah.
Because I remember the rumor being Sony.
Oh, maybe it was.
I remember the rumor being Sony, and I think you might have said it makes more sense if Microsoft would buy it, because Xbox had the mods first. They got all of the DLC came to Xbox like a year before it came to PlayStation.
Yeah. To be honest, you might have talked about it on the show.
I'm pretty sure we did. There might even be a highlight about it, but like,
yeah,
dude, that shit, I'm not focusing on that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's a rumor. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was just like, hey, this is going to happen. This isn't or is going to happen, and is most likely not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You see, but it happened.
It fucking happened. Like, okay, so Pete Hines tweeted out 2 days ago. So today is the 24th. On the 22nd, I actually think it was the 21st when he tweeted this out, because it was the 21st, because I remember where I was when I read this. You know how everyone says you know where you were during 9/11? Where were you when Microsoft bought Bethesda? He tweeted, "Today we announced Bethesda is joining Microsoft Xbox family, and I wanted to share some thoughts on what it means for all of us." And I click on the link. I like didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to call when I first read this. The article is called "Why Microsoft is the Perfect Fit," published on September 21st of 2020 on Bethesda.net. Why Microsoft is the perfect fit. "Today we announced that we are joining the Microsoft family. Please read below. And if you haven't had a chance to read what Phil Spencer and Todd Howard shared in their post this morning. Be sure to check them both out. We're going to read those two while we're here. When you work at Bethesda, as long as I've worked at Bethesda, just a month short of 21 years, you see some things. Chief amongst, give me a second. I'm a dyslexic who has to read. Chief amongst them is change. When I started, Bethesda was much more than a handful of people. The team working on Morrowind fit in to a couple of offices, and there was probably six or seven of us spread across everything else. Bethesda Softworks, our parent company, ZeniMax Media, and our main internal studios now employ thousands of talented people working in publishing offices and development studios around the world. We've gone from one initial studio to many, from a focus on single-player fantasy RPGs to developing massive MMOs, first-person shooters, and everything in between. The world, our industry, and the company has changed a lot in 34 years since Bethesda Softworks was first founded. Today it changes again, and I know that brings up some questions. But the key points is that we're still Bethesda, we're still working on the same games we were yesterday, made by the same studios we've worked on for years, being worked with for years, and those games who will be published by us. So why the change? Because it allows us to make even better games going forward. Microsoft is an incredible partner and offers access to resources that'll make us better publishers and developer, make us a better publisher and developer. We believe that means better games for you to play. Simply put, we believe that change is an important part of getting better. We believe in pushing ourselves to be better, to innovate, to grow. And we have a long history of working with Microsoft. Our companies share many of the same basic principles. We believe in a culture that values passion, quality, collaboration, and innovation. When I think back to the first time we decided to shift from being PC-only developers and make Morrowind for the original Xbox, it was a move that countless people said would never work. Nobody on consoles wanted a game that big and complex. But Microsoft believed in us and so did you. And now RPGs of all shapes and sizes are hugely successful on consoles. Yes, it's a big change for us. But after taking a minute to absorb the magnitude of the acquisition, we're going to continue doing what we know and love, making great games. We're going to keep trying new things. We're going to take the same passion we've poured into what we do and the passion that our community brings to the things we make and do even better. And soon the conversation will move on from this deal to talking about our games again. And I can go back to answering the questions that get all of us excited. Tell me more about Deathloop. When can I see more Ghostwire? What's coming up in Q4 for Elder Scrolls Online? I want to see more of Doom Eternal DLC. When the hell are you going to tell me about Starfield? All capitalized. I'm excited for those conversations and look forward to talking to you about all of that. And much, much more in the weeks, months, and years ahead. I believe in the people that I work with. I believe in the company that I have created together. I believe in the communities that have formed around the games we make. Kyle, that's us. Yep. And I believe today's announcement is just next in a long line of changes in our history and will lead to bigger, better games for all of us. Pete Hines, SVP, Global Marketing and Communications. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I have high hopes for them.
Yeah.
They have said now that they've done the biggest overhaul to their engine that they've ever done in the past 20-something years of using the same engine. I don't know what that means exactly. Maybe that means they're going to be able to utilize ray tracing and like more volumetric lighting. Maybe it means that the game won't, maybe they've just taken the money and time that they now have from being owned by Microsoft to work out some bugs.
Yeah. This is a big thing being under Microsoft, because Microsoft will let them, like, hey, make your games. Like,
I think,
do what you have to make them. Like,
yeah. That. And ZeniMax, quite famously, I would even say, Bethesda went to ZeniMax and was like, we want to make Fallout. And they went, okay. And they just went out and bought the rights. Like, it wasn't even like they didn't have to sit. From what I understand, I don't work there and I'm only retelling a story that I heard Todd Howard say. But it was like they just wanted to make a game. They had an idea. And originally what they did to Obsidian, where they were like, you can contract one game out. They originally had that deal and then they bought the rights flat out. So it's obviously a studio that. I mean, how many times have we rebought Skyrim? How many times have you personally bought Skyrim, Kyle?
A few.
Including VR.
technically, yeah.
I bought it on the 360, I bought it on the PS4, I bought it on the PC, and you know what? My brother has, I think, Skyrim VR, so I'm gonna just say that that's a fourth time. I wanted to get it for the Switch, but I was only going to play it on a plane because that's what they did in the original trailer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a company that has weight behind its name, and I hope that – the only thing that I see about this is we're not getting a mainline Fallout – we're not getting a mainline Bethesda game. Not an Arcane game. Not a different studio that they own. I'm drawing a blank. What are other studios they own, Kyle?
Oh, boy. Id?
Oh, yeah. We're not getting in. We might get an id game. We might get. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that fucking nuts to think that now Microsoft owns the rights to Doom and Wolfenstein?
Yeah.
Like the two shooters, like the premier shooters, the ones that started it all.
Hey, Doom Guy and Halo, you know?
Kyle.
It's possible now.
Kyle. Imagine. A skin, like imagine, you know, remember how you could unlock armor? Like in 3, it was just kind of like pieces, and then Reach, it was like a lot. I don't really remember anything past that because I stopped playing. I played 4 a little bit, and then I never really touched it. But like, dude, imagine being able to wear the Doomslayer's helmet in Infinite.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I just think it's nuts that this is where we are. We're not going to get a mainline Bethesda game now, especially because they're redoing the entire engine. I'm 2022 at the earliest, 2024 at the latest.
Yeah, I think we'll see something next year for Starfield.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's
like more of a trailer or something.
Oh, just a trailer, not like...
Yeah.
Just like a, hey, we're working on this.
Maybe like, oh, hey, this is what this game is about.
Basically. I see. I think we're going to get Elder Scrolls. I think they've even said we're going to get Starfield and then Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
So...
This, them buying them has given me more of a hope. Like, before I was like, it's not going to happen. But now it's like, it's possible it's going to happen that they might remaster them.
Oh, Kyle, you saying that gave me chills because I wanted to talk about this. Yeah, I genuinely think they're going to remaster it because they could put both games. Remember what they did with Rare Replay?
Uh-huh.
That was my first thought was, oh my god, they bought Rare and they put every Rare game on one day. How much was it? $60 for like 15 games?
Yeah, you got like a lot of stuff, plus like stuff that was never on Xbox too, you know, like Battletoads.
Yeah, and the only thing they didn't have was like Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah.
But like, this gave me... Dude, you remember the... are you okay if I put some of the chat on screen?
Sure.
Some of our chat from our group messages of just how excited I was. Like, they could remaster the games now, which even if they said, all right, we're going to put out two copies. We're going to put out the Fallout 3 remaster and it's $50. Fuck it. I'll pay $60. I don't give a shit. I bought Skyrim 4 times and I don't even like Skyrim that much. When Fallout 3 is my favorite game ever. And then it's like, all right. And then in 6 months, fucking do everything you got to do in the capital waste, because in 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year, we're giving you the New Vegas remaster, and we're gonna not fix all the bugs, we're gonna try to work some shit out, we're gonna up the graphics, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And now, because they spent $7.5 billion on this, I think one, they're absolutely going to try to do this because they want to turn a quick profit, and not that this could be quick, but I could see them getting this done in 8 months. And it would be, dude, it would be perfect, a perfect summer game. Like, you know how there's always that drought, like spring, summer?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect summer game to remaster 3 in New Vegas. There's
I can see them doing like, I'm trying to think what did it, but like.
The Arkham Collection.
I can see them, kind of, but I can see them doing like, here's Fallout 1 and 2 as well.
I was just going to bring that up. There's a guy on Twitter that I think everybody should follow. Let me find his exact at. But I've been talking to him every now and again. I still got to read those two other articles. But I've been talking to him every now and again. He's at That Smart Boy, boy with an I. It's days until the until Fallout 1 and 2 get remastered. And this dude has been updating for the past 70-something days. 77 days. And I think if a page like this can get big enough that maybe they'll see that it's wanted, even if just because, like, essentially what the new Xboxes feel like to me are just kind of souped up PCs, like souped up and downgraded at the same time PCs, because they don't, like, have the capability of a computer, but they play games at, like, a level of, like, a decent to mid-grade computer, if I'm correct. I'm not really one for specs. But even if they just made it with controller support, like, that's all they had to do, like, it would get so many people in on a series, and they could under... It's a totally different game, but they could understand earlier, like, what matters and why Maxon has no purpose being in Appalachia. But, like, I'm very incredibly excited for what could happen. I put a video on the ARH Twitter about me I was, like, cooking dinner or lunch or whatever, and I was freaking out because I couldn't... Kyle, Obsidian.
Yeah.
Like, Obsidian now is owned by Microsoft, meaning that if it was a problem where we had to get the rights from Obsidian and Microsoft owned it, and I don't know what we want to do, which I didn't even think of until now. Now there's no excuse. Not that there's no excuse.
Yeah.
But now, if, like, my idea was, you know how there's Rockstar used to have it where it was like Rockstar North, Rockstar San Diego. And it was like the different colors of the Rockstar logo. Like, one was yellow, one was green, one was purple.
Yeah.
Or how Call of Duty has Treyarch and Activision.
Yeah.
What if we get, like, two Fallout games every 4 years? And it's like, and they take 8 years to make, and this one is, like, the East Coast, and this one is the West Coast. And we can continuously get, like... This we found out about this on September 21st, and that is, you know, the holy day. Do you remember? And I was listening to that song by Earth, Wind, and Fire, September, like fucking 40 times, and all I can imagine is Tim Kaine being like, I can work on my baby again. I can work on the fucking series that I kickstarted. And I just want to see.
Yeah, there's,
what's up?
There's been a lot of tweets of, like, I remember somebody tweeted at, like, Obsidian's like, hey, Fallout 2. New Vegas 2, and they're like, maybe, and they're like, welcome to the family and everything like that to Bethesda.
Yeah.
And then about Three Dog's voice actor too.
Yeah, he was, if I can find all these tweets, I'll put them on screen, but he was like, Three Dog, or Microsoft owns Three Dog, bow wow. Like, I think even Mr. Matty Plays tweeted out when it happened, he goes, it's so nice to see positivity about Fallout again. Because for such a long time, it was like, you're either a Fallout fan, or you're a Fallout 76 fan, it felt like. And I'm not saying that you can't be both, because 76 has its merit, and there's people that play it continuously and love it and everything about it, but it feels like it's a departure of what it once felt like. And
it might now get the deserve it needed from the studio, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Because
they're overrulers of ZeniMax, you know?
Well, yeah, that was the thing, is like, I was looking at the board of directors, and like, one of them was a Trump, and I was like, all right, well, they're only concerned about money. Like, at that point, like, it's not this passionate, like, if you look at how many people made Fallout 3, I actually have like a book, a video right here. I don't know if it's coming across on camera. It's in the special edition of Fallout 3. It comes in the lunchbox. You can find it on YouTube for free. And there's like maybe 40 people that worked on Fallout 3. Maybe. Like, I don't think that includes the voice actors. And now Fallout 4, they had to give some of the projects to a separate company. They had to subcontract a separate company just to finish the game in time. So, like, it's vastly different. And we've been saying on the past few episodes, it's once there's too many cooks. You know what I mean? Remember what you were saying about Anthem?
Yeah.
And you were just like, everybody from one game moved over to Anthem. And it was like, well, I didn't want to work on this. I don't know what's really going on. And
Yep.
Hopefully now they can say, okay, we have three games. Here's the Starfield division. Here's the Elder Scrolls division. Here's the Fallout division.
Yeah. And with their special partnership and friendship with Microsoft, they can be like, hey, Microsoft, we need this music license or whatever like that. And they'll be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, Kyle, I never thought I'd say this.
That's why I think the remastered will happen, because they can be like, hey, Microsoft, we want to do the remasters. We need to license these music again.
That,
and Microsoft will be like, yeah.
The voice acting.
Yeah.
And I just think Microsoft is going to go, we want a profit. Like, $7.5 billion cash money is not something you're going to make back overnight. So they know that this is the long game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they're going to be like, all right, we'll spend a couple more to make a couple more. Also, I hate to say this, Kyle, but I think Xbox is winning this generation so far. And like, I get it. It's having a console war is stupid, but like, I've considered not getting an S and getting an X.
Mm-hmm.
Because they also said that Bethesda games will be on a case-by-case base for exclusivity. So exclusivity is dumb for games because it hurts everybody. But there's no doubt in my mind they're going to go, hey, we're going to do something. Here's Skyrim. Here's Elder Scrolls. Here's a Fallout. Here's Starfield. They're going to do what they did with Epic. And remember how Epic was like, Borderlands 3? Yeah, you can only get it for the first year here on PC. I have a feeling they're going to do something like that. It's coming everywhere.
Yeah, I can see them doing the time exclusive.
Yeah.
And then be like, all right, it's still going to come out for all these other consoles. But like, because they're already currently releasing two games on Sony.
Yeah.
Which is Deathloop and Ghostwire, which are exclusives to Sony.
How fucking funny is that? this actually reminded me of what Sony did to Nintendo. Because it was originally going to be the Nintendo PlayStation, because Nintendo wanted to partner with Sony to make a disc system. And Nintendo was talking to Panasonic behind Sony's back. And Sony heard that and went, no, fuck you. You're not doing that to us. That's our, like, number one rival is Panasonic. That's not cool. That's not kosher. That's not gravy. And that's kind of, I mean, I also don't know. I don't work at either company, so I don't know. But it kind of feels like they were, like, talking to Microsoft behind Sony's back. And they were like, yeah, we'll put a game on Sony. It'll be exclusive. But here you go. Like, buy us out. So they're going to, like, Microsoft is going to make stupid money off that. And they didn't have to put any money into it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll make money off of every person who buys Skyrim here on out. But
yeah,
but whenever a game comes out, that's when its sales are the highest. You know what I mean? That first week is when it's the highest it's going to be. So to think that they're going to get all that money from that, they're going to get all the money from Ghostwire. Fucking crazy. Dude, crazy. I can't believe we live in this timeline. Like, out of everything that the beginning of the 20s has given us, this is the one, like, decent thing.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think it's like, it's not like a big win for Microsoft. It's a big win for all of us, because this gives them a chance to actually make better games.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've said it before.
Even if you're on Sony or on a PlayStation, like, this gives them a chance to actually do what they want more.
Yeah, I think this is huge. I just wanted to talk about this quick. There's a couple more things that I'd like to go over. Just, I want to read those two articles quick, Kyle.
Yeah.
I just can't believe this is happening. I really can't fucking believe this is happening.
Can you imagine loading up, like, Deathloop and, like, Ghostwire and
it says Microsoft Game Studios? Oh my god, on Sony. But that's the thing, doesn't it say that when you boot up Minecraft?
No, PlayStation, it just says Mojang.
Okay. But I think that's what we're going to... Remember how I said Halo on PS4?
Yeah.
I think we're going to get to the point where it's no longer exclusives, it's timed exclusives. Horizons.
Yeah.
Days Gone. I think moving forward, it doesn't hurt that company. If Microsoft... What's another... Like, if Microsoft said, hey, we want everybody to be able to play Gears of War... Gears 1 through 4 is now on PlayStation. And that Pop game. Remember that Pop game they were going to make?
Yeah, I think they made that.
Oh, really?
Already. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that came out a while ago.
But if they said, like, Gears 1 through 4 is there, in a year and a half, in 2 years, or in some time, they're going to announce Gears 5 coming to PS5. Because it's just timed exclusive. They're going to make all that money. If you were a PlayStation kid for the 2, the 3, the 4, now into the 5, and you're like, wow, Gears of War looks really neat, but I'm just not going to play it. Like, this is my console. I know it. Like, whatever, I can deal with that. Or if you just don't have a lot of money and you're like, I'm just going to continue to invest in the company that I know. You know what I mean? Because, like, Xbox's UX isn't great, but still, like, I know this. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to continue with that. And it's like, they're going to make a bunch of money. They got to pay Sony a little bit of money. And they're just going to make more on something that's – the work's already done, pretty much. This is from Phil Spencer. This is from news.xbox.com. Welcoming the talented teams and beloved game franchises of Bethesda to Xbox. Critically acclaimed creators of The Elder Scrolls Fallout, Modern Fallout, Wolfenstein, Doom, Dishonored, Quake, my guy, Quake. Quake.
Yeah.
Sorry. Quake and soon to be Starfield and more. Join Team Xbox. Today's a special day as we welcome some of the most accomplished studios in the game industry to Xbox. We are thrilled to announce Microsoft has entered into an agreement to acquire ZeniMax Media, parent company of Bethesda Softworks. As one of the largest, most critically acclaimed, privately held developers and publishers in the world, Bethesda is an incredibly talented group of 2,300 people worldwide who make up some of the most accomplished creative studios in our industry across Bethesda Softworks. Again, I'm sorry, this is written by Phil Spencer, who is head of Xbox. This was published on the 21st. I forgot to cite that. I'm not a good journalist if I don't. Bethesda games have always had a special place on Xbox and in the hearts of millions of gamers around the world. Our teams have a close storied history working together from the amazing first Doom and its id Tech engine innovating games on PCs. Bethesda brings their first console game to the original Xbox with the groundbreaking Elder Scrolls III Morrowind. Over the years, I've had many deep conversations with the creative leaders at Bethesda on the future of gaming, and we've long shared similar visions for the opportunities of creators and their games to reach more players in more ways. Just as they took their bold first steps to bring the Elder Scrolls franchise to the original Xbox, Bethesda was an early supporter of Game Pass, bringing their games to audiences across devices that have been actively invested in new gaming technology like cloud streaming of games. We will be adding Bethesda's iconic franchises to Xbox Game Pass for console and PC. Fuck yeah. Does that mean Fallout 3? Like, even if they don't remaster, does that mean Fallout 3? I'm getting ahead of myself. I apologize.
Probably.
One, that means you could play it on PC and it would work.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to wind up buying Game Pass before I have an Xbox.
I mean, they also could put, like, Fallout 1 and 2 and the rest that are only, like, PC games on Game Pass PC.
Is there a list of PC games that only work on Game Pass PC?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
No shit. Holy shit. I'm sorry. One of the things that has me most excited is seeing the roadmap with Bethesda's future games. Some announced and many unannounced.
Remasters.
To the Xbox console and PC, including Starfield, the highly anticipated new space epic currently in development at Bethesda Game Studios. Like us, Bethesda are passionate believers in building a diverse array of creative experiences in exploring new game franchises and telling stories in bold ways. All of their great work will, of course, continue and grow, and we look forward to empowering them with the resources and support of Microsoft to scale their creative visions. To scale their creative visions to more players in new ways for you. All of our work and foundation of our relationship with you starts with a commitment to deliver. I don't know what this word is. I'm going to paraphrase it and say a commitment to deliver a slew of amazing games to discover and play on Xbox. Over the last few weeks, we've been excited to share more details on important elements of a plan we've been building towards for years. A plan that is a fulfillment process to you, the Xbox player, to deliver more sure, immersive and compatible next-generation gaming experiences, and the freedom to play blockbuster games with your friends anytime, anywhere. Today's a landmark step in our journey together, and I'm incredibly energized by what this step means for Xbox. I can't believe how excited I am for this, Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reading this, and I'm trying not to, like, choo-choo, ride that fucking hype train, but I know it's a company, and they're just going to tell me what they want me to hear, but, like, I don't know. Like, let's read this Todd Howard one. We can get into a light discussion and then kind of wrap. Is this written by my boy? Can I just say that the Xbox website has a much more dyslexic-friendly font?
Yeah.
Because I didn't fuck up that much there. So this is written by Todd, or someone helped him write it. I just picture, like, Todd's, like, sitting at a desk, like, all right, now say this. And they're like, hold on, Todd, that's too much. Buy Skyrim. I've been incredibly blessed to spend... This is, again, off the Bethesda.net. Todd Howard on joining Xbox posted September 21st, 2020. But this one is saying that it was written by Bethesda Game Studios. But at the bottom, I read real quick, Todd himself signs it. But I've been incredibly blessed to spend my entire career at and help build one of the best places to make games in the world, Bethesda. I'm back on Bethesda, and they have a very dyslexic, unfriendly font. So give me a second. And I've had the joy of doing it with some of the most talented, humble, and passionate people there are. They are a part of my family and my good friends. I've also had the pleasure of working with and partnering with many of the best gaming and tech companies in the world. But our longest and closest partner during my career has been Microsoft. Today we joined them, and we wanted to share some personal thoughts on what it means and our shared vision. The trajectory of Xbox and the trajectory of Bethesda in many ways have gone hand in hand. From our beginning, we have primarily been PC developers, and in 1999, two things happened. One, Bethesda became part of a brand new startup, ZeniMax Media, and Microsoft started development of their first video game console. In 99? What year did the first Xbox come out? Like 03, 04?
Maybe, yeah.
The Xbox I can remember for my first trip to Redmond, Virginia. It doesn't say that, it just says Redmond. To discuss the new system and bring out the next game, Morrowind, to the Xbox. I was dubious. Xbox Morrowind would be worth the time somewhat on a technical level, but more from taking a hardcore RPG and moving it from a PC to desktop experience. Todd, you don't have the greatest grammar. I'm sorry. To a controller and soap experience.
Is this article filled with bugs?
Todd, do you want to test read the article? No, just ship it. Just ship it. We'll patch it later. Microsoft and their new Xbox crew had a view that I came to share completely. Shouldn't we allow anyone to have this experience? Why does it matter where the screen is or what the controller is? There are many people without the same access, and we could bring it to them. Morrowind would go on to become one of the best-selling Xbox games of all times behind Halo, another PC-styled game some said wouldn't work. Its success paved the way for the growth of our company and proved the point. People wanted this experience regardless of the device. Microsoft quickly let us in on their system, the 360, and more than a PC port, we aim with our next game, Oblivion, was to usher in the next generation of gaming. With each game from Fallout fucking 3 to Skyrim, our studio and company grew, adding brilliant and like-minded studios across the globe, all of us sharing in the belief that expanding the reach of gaming was fundamental, whether it was on PC or console, your phone or the cloud. With each new console cycle, we evolved together, from bringing mods to consoles with Fallout 4, and now over a billion downloads, holy shit, on the latest technology fueling Xbox Series X and S. These new systems are optimized for the vast worlds we love to create, with generational leaps not only in graphics, but CPU and data streaming as well. It led our greatest engine overhaul since Oblivion. With all new technologies powering our first IP in 25 years, Starfield, as well as Elder Scrolls 6. Like our original partnership, this one is about more than one system or one screen. We shared a deep belief in the fundamental power of games and their ability to connect, empower, and bring joy. And a belief we should bring that to everyone, regardless of who you are, where you live, or what you play on, regardless of the screen size and the controller, your ability to even use one. We can't think of a better group of people to do that with than Xbox. We have friendships that go back to these original days, from Phil to his senior leaders, to developer support. They don't just talk about putting players first, they passionately live it. At Bethesda, we're lucky enough to create games we love and have an audience who loves them as much as we do. I personally have been humbled by the many industry honors I have received, as they belong to the entire studio. But one has always stood out to me for a special reason. When I received the Lifetime Achievement Award at GDC, I joked in my acceptance, I wonder how many achievements at this point this one is worth. How many achievement points this one is worth. At the end of the ceremony, some of my good friends at Microsoft congratulated me and said they'd find out. A few months later, I was given a code to a game they had created named after me and locked to my account. When ran, it unlocks a single achievement. It says Lifetime for 1,000 points. It still sits in my list when I check it, and I smile every time. It's been a lifetime. But there's more to come and achievements to unlock together. And we hope you join us. All the best, Todd. Todd Howard, Bethesda Game Studios.
Goddamn.
You can say all you want about Todd Howard, and we will joke about the man as much as we do. There has never been one time where I didn't think the man wasn't passionate about what he does.
Mm.
And we're going to get more of what we love and enjoy. And I'm incredibly excited for the future.
Can you imagine in the future when we get the next Bethesda game, there is no bugs in it because of this deal?
You said that so seriously. Yeah. Imagine, Microsoft always had better online back in the day when mm-hmm. I had a 360, but that was because you paid for it. And imagine them upping the servers for 76. Imagine them being like, imagine if they put out like a, hey, if you have 76, we're just going to put out a free update that just kind of revamps everything. It's a new game, but not a new game. Like
they take away Fallout first and they give private servers free.
Yeah. That's one thing that was probably a ZeniMax thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't like Todd was like, money, 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 money. Like, I saw someone complain that Todd wore the same leather jacket to E3 2 years in a row. And they like reversed image searched the leather jacket and found it online. And they're like, this is a $600 leather jacket or something. And I was watching that going, all right, well, if that's real leather, that's how much a good leather jacket costs. And on top of that,
like, Todd had it. He could flaunt it. the leather jacket.
But like, at least he wore it more than once.
Yeah,
like, it's not like he wore it for the press event and then never wore it again. Like, he probably wore it when he went home too. Like,
probably comfy jacket too.
For $600. Yeah, $600. My back better never hurt again. But still, like,
no bugs in that jacket.
God, when you're on. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I'm excited to see what Obsidian does now. I'm excited to see what happens. This is going to take a long time for anything to develop. I understand that, but I'm hoping that Microsoft says to Bethesda, we need to remake these older games. There's so many people that even in our comments alone, I've seen people that were streaming Fallout 4, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. Even in Discord, someone had told me they've never played New Vegas or 3. So why not? These games are... Fallout 3 came out October 28th of 2011. Right? No, 2008. What the fuck? What am I thinking of? 2008. It's 2020. If the game comes out in 2023, 2021, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like this series a lot. I want to see it thrive.
Yeah. I think they are going to. Yeah. Nah, they're going to be striving.
Do you have anything else to say, Kyle?
I don't know. I'm just definitely turned around.
Yeah.
Hope for this company and series.
Yeah. Because I was starting to feel that they were doing to this series what they did to Mass Effect. Which, by the way, did you see they're remastering Mass Effect?
Yes, I'm very excited.
I might try it. Because I bought the first one to try it, and the disc didn't work, and I just brought it back to GameStop and didn't get another one. I was just like, give me my money back. This was years ago, but still. Yeah. I don't really have much else to say. Like I said, Olive couldn't be here, and I just wanted to make sure that we talked about this and didn't go another week. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, a movie review goes out, and you're like, what the fuck? So, yeah. Do you have any final words, Kyle?
Goddamn.
Thanks for joining us on today's program. If you liked our intro music, you can get it at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. Our boy Shane Ivers is always putting out bangers. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do so with a link in the description below. And there's also a link down there to our Redbubble. Our Redbubble is where you could buy a bunch of shirts and clocks and blocks and mugs and shirts and sweatshirts and duvets and shirts and stickers and mugs and blocks and clocks. There is also a link down there to our Discord, which we've spoken about a couple times here. Join the Discord. It's a time and a half. Someone's always in there. We're always talking. Kyle shared a lovely picture today of what the inside of the Fall Guys look like. And I only...
Horrifying.
Yeah, I only slept for about an hour and a half after that.
They're just canon.
And it's canon. And they're goopy. So join that if you'd like. There's links to... There'll be a link to my social media. There'll be a link to Kyle's social media. And if you're watching us on YouTube, share with a friend. Give us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, let us know how you're feeling. And if you're listening to us wherever you can download a podcast, please give us a review and share with a friend. I think that's everything. It's very weird when Olive's not here. thank you for joining me, my friend.
Yep. Thank you for having me, if ascended special guest.
You have to change your name now to special host Kyle. All right, everybody.
Okay, go.
Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.